What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We have a Wild Card Wednesday with us, and I'm super excited. His name is Coach Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Super happy to be here. Anything that's called What's Good and my face is on it is questionable, but I'm excited to be.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun time. So I'm super excited for us to get started. And so what we normally do before we get started with our genuine conversation, which is the interview, we always say, who is the guest? So for you, Coach Kevin, who is Coach Kevin?
Man, I am a South Louisiana Cajun who just got too big for the bayou. And I don't mean better than the bayou. I love the bayou. I love the food. And I love my culture. But yeah, I just wanted to see the whole world. I wasn't satisfied to just stay on the bayou. I'm an eighth generation oysterman, turned marketer, turned coach, and a really proud husband and father of five as well. So I'm just a guy who's made a lot of mistakes and along the way learned a whole lot of things not to do. And that helps me to help people not to do them.
Absolutely. So I want to dive into that a little bit more because I know a lot of times, because I'm from a small city in Dallas.
Okay.
So a lot of times we kind of get stuck with being comfortable. And so for you, like you mentioned, you kind of wanted to see the world. What else is out there outside of the bayou? When did you get that mindset to know that I just don't want to be stuck here anymore?
I came from a town where 95 at the time that I was growing up, 95% of the people born there stayed there. Mm-hmm. And again, nothing wrong with that. We call it getting stuck in the mud. Louisiana is a beautiful place. It's very tasty to live there. A lot of wonderful things about Louisiana. But, you know, my father was from Los Angeles. He had moved in. My mom was born and raised in Louisiana. But my dad's dad was from the same bayou as my mom. Right. And I think I just very early on took a trip and said, wow, this is a whole nother way of seeing the world. And then young, you know, it's 19 to 21. I lived in France, learned to speak French fluently. And you start to realize that like, wow, if you speak another language, that isn't just other words. It's a whole nother way of seeing the world, right? Like French is a completely different context and way of seeing the world than English. And then you stop and think, well, man, there's hundreds of languages. So that means There are just billions of people who are born who have completely different thoughts than I do, that they have thoughts. They have thoughts I've never had and I have thoughts they never had. And it, for me, that's just exciting. I want to taste it all. I want to feel it all. And I want to get up and out of any one rut.
Beautiful. So one of the things that you mentioned in your intro was that you're wanting to teach people based on your mistakes. And a lot of times that can happen from genuine conversations like what we're having right now. And sometimes that can go to business as well. So for you, how does that work for personal and your business?
I'll give you a quick tip right at the top of the interview. Here's a tip. I can tell all of your entrepreneurs and all of your listeners how to be perfect. Okay, 100% chance how to be perfect. And this applies to you, to me, to everyone. If you want to be perfect in life, just lie. Like, just lie. Like, that's the only way, right? Mm-hmm. Perfection is a lie, but excellence is achievable, right? I think one of the most important things to see as a human being, right? And maybe if we weren't human beings, we could be perfect, but we all are. That's why we're listening to this, is that perfection is a lot like the horizon. You know, the horizon is something that if you're outside, you see the horizon, like if there it is, that's where the sky meets the ground or that's where the sky meets the water. But the horizon isn't real. It's not actually a place. Your mind creates that line and says, oh, that's the horizon. If you walk for 1,000 miles, you'll see the horizon the entire time, but you'll never touch it because it's not a real thing. It's a construct, right? It's just something that helps us orient. And it's super important. So this isn't to say that the horizon isn't important. I was a sport pilot for a while, right? And man, you better know where the horizon is. Even if you can't see it, you have a mechanical horizon to help you understand. It's a very important waypoint. Perfection's a lot like that. Super important waypoint. Super important for us to say, oh, I think this is the perfect, expression of whatever I'm doing. If I'm playing basketball, if I'm writing a letter, this is the perfect letter. But the idea that we'll ever touch it is silly, because the better we get, the more aspects of it we see are off, right? And so it's this kind of like diminishing return. You're never going to touch it, so stop trying. And just because you're not perfect doesn't mean you aren't powerful. And for me, I've really tried to embrace being powerfully imperfect. I want to be powerfully imperfect. I'm not close to perfect, but I can make an impact in my life and the lives around me.
You know what? Okay, so you call yourself the mindset architect, right? And I feel like everything you just said is like total mindset shift. Because I feel like on an everyday basis, we can kind of be robotic in all the things that we do versus understanding what the growth looks like or the stretching of doing something different. And this entire time, we've been talking about doing something different outside of what the norm is. So with you, with the mindset architect, what does that mean to you?
Well, your mindset is how everything, look outside of yourself, right? Like whatever you're seeing right now, I see a camera, I see a computer, I see a building outside, right? If it's not nature, if it's not the sun, right? Every single thing that you see started in someone's mind first. Someone had an idea of like, oh, we could do this. We could build this building, or we could turn this lot into cement, or we could grow this garden here. Whatever you're looking at, someone had that idea in their mind. And then they went out and made that thing a reality, right? So whatever it is that you want to do or accomplish or have in life, it all starts really with who you are, but then who that person imagines. It is your mindset. Your mindset dictates so much. I mean, I have 5 kids, right? And a lot of people have kids. I have yet to meet the person who said, hey, you know what? I had a kid. I was totally ready, totally understood what that was going to be about, and it was easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, even on my 5th kid, it's like they're so different. By 5 kids, you think you'd have some stuff figured out. I think I had no idea. Like, he was totally a fresh, new experience, different than the other 4. But that didn't mean I wasn't a great parent. I just figured it out. Like, you get in, you're totally overwhelmed also, and then you figure it out. But that was a mindset. There was a commitment of, hey, I want to create a family, and I want this family to be powerful, and I want to be a great father inside of that family, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. That starts with mindset, and then there are actions that come, right? It isn't like people, I think, get twisted in life a lot, and they think, well, if I have something, then that'll allow me to do something, and then I can be something, right? So if I have a little bit of money, then I could invest, and if I invest, then I'll be a millionaire, be rich, or whatever. I guess it's billionaire now. The new generation, the M is not enough. Now we have to go to B, right? But it doesn't matter. Either way, whatever it is. But the real truth of this is, if you are a billionaire, if you are rich in your mind, you will then make investments, and those investments will give you the money that you have in your account. It actually works totally the opposite of how we tend to think about it. We tend to think of it as, what do I need to have to allow me to do, and then I am. But mindset starts with, I am this, and if I am this, then I do that, and that gives me the things that I have. When you flip that around, things really change. And this is the vast majority, I think, the vast majority of mothers out there would, I think, agree with this, that who in the world is ready to be a mom with a newborn? And who could even do it? Like, the day before that baby's born, you're not able to do it. But what happens? You just decide, I'm a mother. And so whenever all the hard stuff happens and it's time to breastfeed and you find out that's not natural, and then it's time to, clean up puke for the 10th time in a row that first night, and it's time to not sleep for, like, I think 6 to 8 months, just depending on your kid, you do it. Why? Because you've decided, I am a good mother. And so you do those things. And then guess what? Then you have that great relationship and you have that actual family that you wanted. But the truth is, if you had waited to have the ability to do it, you would never have done it, right? Nobody can afford a baby. Nobody has the innate skills. It is not, while very natural, the process is not just innate. You have to go through it. You have to experience it. You have to feel the good and the bad of it.
Mm-hmm. So even with this conversation, I just feel like coaching comes natural to you. I mean, it's just like so easy. So with conversations, you've had a ton of coaching conversations, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get from, I'm sure, well, let me not assume, but what I'm seeing is that you would have like these conversations through your mistakes. And then it was like, you know what? Let me see what I can actually do with this. But this is just me and my assumption. So how did you actually get started with coaching? Because I just feel like you just have natural conversations and then you give the lessons that come with those conversations.
Well, first, I made a ton of mistakes. Let's be honest. First, I don't think I've made all of them, but man, a lot. And I'm very far from a perfect person. And I saw the pain of that. Mm-hmm. I saw the pain of that. I'll tell you one that wasn't a mistake that I made, but I think it's a really good example of this, right? My wife and I decided to have another kid. And the day after we announced that we were pregnant, so we're like 12 weeks pregnant, the day after we announced that we were pregnant, we had a miscarriage.
The day after.
And this sucked because that meant we just announced it. So everybody hadn't even got the announcement and we miscarried, right? And I had never really considered a miscarriage. Like I never even thought, you know, I had this semi-charmed life where none of that had happened for the first four kids. And so literally for a week, everybody I know is calling to say congratulations, which is awesome because we had just announced. And I didn't even know what to do. We were just like depressed and sad. And you feel this weird guilt that makes no sense. And I would just tell people, thank you. I just got so tired. You know, it's like you would kill a baby or a puppy, you know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, I'm so excited for you. Like, oh, we lost it. You know, and you end up watching them just deflate. Yeah. And so they'd be like, oh, congratulations. I'm like, yeah, thanks. You know, which is so crazy. Like, if you think about what just happened. And I didn't know anybody who had had a miscarriage. Like, I didn't know anybody. And it was so hard to just think we're the only ones right now. But here's the crazy thing. So then, unlike most people, we just started talking about it, right? Like my wife and I, she's also a coach. We're talking. Pretty soon, it turned out like everybody I knew had a relate. Like every single person that I knew had some story. And I'm like, wait a second. How in the world did, like my mom, my dad, everybody had some experience with this. And I'm like, how did no one ever talk to me about this? Like, how is it? You know, and then I looked up the statistics and I would love for your audience, what do you think is the percentage of pregnancies that end up in a miscarriage? Think of a number, right? It's really right around 33%.
Wow.
That's a huge number, right? And I couldn't believe that number. How is that true? Well, because people just want to talk and they're just, I don't know that it's hiding. I mean, they don't like to go to those places. But man, I just realized like, man, the world would have been so much better if somebody would have shared that pain with me. Because then when I had it, I'd have been like, man, I'm not alone. I could have talked to my grandma. I could have talked to my dad. I could have talked, because I would have known they had that experience. But instead, everybody just kind of, you know, nobody wants to give you negative juju. I get that. I'm not saying when we announce we're pregnant, that's the time to talk about it. But it just, there's so many scenarios like that in life, right? That when you go through them, you realize, whoa, it's not like that at all. You know, one of the themes of coaching clients, right, has been, for me, has been divorce, right? And I went through a divorce and it was totally my fault. I mean, just like totally my fault, total coward in my first marriage, a terrible husband. Didn't know who I was and acted like it. And you go through that divorce. I think everybody who's considering a divorce thinks of a divorce as like the surgical procedure. Like, well, I'm going to lose an arm, but you know, I'll save the rest of the body. It's going to be great. So we're going to remove this arm. It's really going to suck, but I'll be okay. Right. And then you show up for that surgery and you realize like, instead of a surgeon, you have like a cross-eyed crazy guy with a rusty axe, you know, and he takes a swing and he misses and then he misses again. And then by the third swing, you just scream and rip it off. Like, who cares? Like, just get rid of it. You know, and then you have this kind of weird bloody thing that you nurse until, you know, eventually it's just kind of useful. And the reality of it is it's ugly. It just is. Like, you can't combine two things that much and then separate them and it be clean, especially with kids. If there's no kids, it can be okay. But if there's kids, hey, I love my kids infinitely. My ex-wife loves her kids infinitely. And guess how much time there is for us to spend with them? Not infinite. And if we're in two separate homes, that's going to create conflict. The more we love them, the more conflict, you know, the more tension there'll be. Because, of course, she wants to be there for every moment as well she should as their mom. And I want to be there every moment as well I should. And, you know, when you talk about the reality of those things and how hard they can be, but also how amazing they can be. Like, if you fight through it, it can be great, right? I'm not sad that I got divorced. That marriage needed to end. That marriage, it wasn't a failure. It ended, right? It was a success because it led to the rest of my life. It led to those three children who are, thank God that I have them. But I think we don't talk enough about our failures because we have this misconception that failure is the opposite of success. And I really think that the opposite of success is inaction, is not trying at all. You know, just not doing anything. Failure is how you learn to succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that all of us failed to walk and pretty much all of us can walk. I mean, those of us who can't walk, it's not because we stopped trying. It's because there was some injury or something else. Like nobody would just watch their baby and be like, well, he tried that 10 times. I guess Junior's never going to walk. Right? No, I mean, they're going to figure it out. Like you have to keep trying. I don't know when that changed in us. You know, I don't know, as an adult, maybe our ego starts to protect us, but you know, failure is how you learn to succeed. It is not the opposite of success. You know, you get excited when you fail. You know, look, I'm on a journey right now. 6 years ago, I started coaching really heavily. I had a lot of clients and I realized that social media was controlling my attention. And if you control my attention, then you control my thoughts. And if you control my thoughts, then you control my beliefs. And if you control my beliefs, you control my actions and choices. And if you control my actions and choices, you control my whole damn life. And so I basically said, hey, I'm out. And you can go look in my socials. There's like a 6 year, 5 year gap of no posting at all. Like a lot of my friends right now are like, whoa, wow, I thought you were dead. I mean, I'm kidding, but not really. They're like, wow, you're back. You're like, what is this, right? But I realized that, well, I want to reenter the world, you know, and I'm trying to be where everybody is. I didn't want to be controlled, but I also didn't want to isolate myself from everyone. I have a great following IRL, like in real life. Online, I got nothing, right? Because I just haven't played. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be where everyone else was. Now I do, right? And as I've started to try to get on podcasts and try to actually re-enter, a lot of people said no. And they looked at my following and it's hilarious. Like one guy's like, hey man, how are we even talking about you? Like you have 100 followers. Like, huh? You know, I've coached thousands and thousands and thousands, including billionaires, millionaires, whatever. But I was busy coaching. But here's the fun part, right? Those no's got me excited because I was like, oh, good. Hey, I'm doing something. I'm getting told no. I agree. I mean, I remember getting turned down for a big podcast. He's like, man, you have like 200 followers. I no. And I'm like, I get it. I'm with you. Yeah, I got to work on that. So I'm glad you had a different opinion than we're here today. But you know, why can't we embrace we all know that we are imperfect. And yet none of us want to just admit it, right? It's such a fun, like, think about the internet. The internet was the one place that we could be real. Like if whatever you are, right? Like whatever strange type human being, you could be the strangest person in the world. You could go online and there's like 20 of you. Uh-huh. So if you just be yourself, you'll find people like you. But instead we turn it into angles and filters and, you know, it's really interesting to see, like, it's the one place that no matter how weird you are, there's somebody weird just like you. And we all still pretend that it's, you know, and I'm not immune to it. I do the same thing, uh-huh. Right? I mean, I brushed my hair before this. I even brushed my teeth. I don't know. I guess you can't smell my breath, but I got real nervous that I had bad breath before this podcast, you know, but it's just human. How about we be human? Uh-huh. And we can be powerful. Humans, powerful. Like, absolutely. We're powerful. You know, but I think people just forget. They just forget.
That was so good, Coach Kevin. Okay, you made a very good point. And the point that I want to kind of expound on is the internal side of us. Externally, like you mentioned, we're showing up on social media. We have these coaching calls. We're doing all these different things. But internally, things are not connecting. Like, we still are dealing with trauma. We may have daddy issues. We may have mama issues. Like you said, we may be going through some family things as far as trauma, like you said, with divorce or miscarriage, whatever the case may be. But internally, we're going through this silently. What is the connection that you're seeing with entrepreneurs as you're coaching them to mm-hmm. where it's a common disconnect that they're not internally and externally connecting with one another?
Man, I have entrepreneurs. We all have the same thoughts. And it's funny. because every entrepreneur at about 5 a.m., they've probably been awake for a half hour, maybe for 2 hours, thinking about whatever the new deal is, you know, and we're going to be billionaires. Mm-hmm. But then by noon, we're going to be living under a bridge. And then we work our ass off till about 5 or 6 when we're at least we can at least stay in our own house, right? Like we have these crazy roller coasters, right? Entrepreneurs don't live in the present fully. We're here, and then we go off to the future, 5 years, 10 years. Oh, man, I could build this, right? Like, we really go to the future. We see it, and then we come back, and we're like, damn, how come everything hasn't aligned? Like, I saw what I'm supposed to do. Why is this so hard here, right? So with entrepreneurs, every entrepreneur who's worth a damn has run out of money. All of them. Then all of you people who say, I want to be a billionaire, let me ask you this. Do you want to owe someone $300 million? Do you want to have no money in the bank and owe $500 million? Do you want to have no money in the bank and owe $150 million, which is your operating capital, but it's actually a loan, like it's like someone else's money? Do you want that? Because in order to get to the one thing, you almost always have to do the other. I don't know a single billionaire, I've coached many, who weren't at one point backwards 7, 8, 9 figures sometimes. Right? And then they figured it out. Right? Why? Because they had to have a failure consummate to that success. As much as we herald, you know, Elon Musk sleeping on the under his desk, you know, for however many years or whatever, that ain't fun. Like, who in the world gets $100+ million payout and then spends it all the next day on the dumbest idea of all time, which is like a private space company? Because right now it makes a lot of sense. Like right now, it's the richest company on the earth. But at the time, if you're honest, if you're my age, I'm 50 years old, at the time, he did what? I mean, that's like your grandpa saying he's going to build a rocket and go to the moon with no help. Like, that was that crazy at the time. I just remember thinking, he just had one of the greatest exits ever, and he's buying a rocket company? Like, nobody goes to space privately. That's crazy. Well, it turns out I was crazy. It turns out he had a vision. But you've got to, as an entrepreneur, understand that things move up and down, and you better be willing to taste a down consummate to the up. The boom and bust cycle is normal. Entrepreneurs were crazy. Like, everybody knows these statistics, right? 95% of businesses are out in 2 years, 98% in 5 years, right? But like 100 entrepreneurs, two of us are going to make it, but all of us know it's us. All of us. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because if we keep trying, like what happens is if we keep trying, right, 98 lose, and then, but there's two that are happy and gone. And now 98 lose and there's two more. So if we just keep trying and pivoting, we can do it. It's not like it's hopeless, but we got to embrace, like, we're not alone. We tend to succeed in big groups when things are hitting great and the company's going well. Man, it's amazing. Like, there's no party that's not over full, especially when you're paying for it. Mm-hmm. Right. But then when you fail alone. I mean, you figure out, like, if you're an entrepreneur and you either go broke or your company looks like it's going under, or you're getting sued, or, you know, all those things that can happen, man, write down who the hell calls you. Cause they all know. And there's only, you know, you had 20 friends and then you get sued and you almost go bankrupt, or maybe you do go bankrupt. And of those 20 friends, maybe one or two is going to call you. You hang on to those guys forever. And whether you ever call the other people back, right, that is a winnowing. That is a purification process, right? And what I think is funny, though, is none of us want to talk about it. Because if we say, well, man, I went broke. I mean, my first major company I tried to launch just went horrible. I had such bad ideas. They were so rooted in idealism of, like, well, you know, the problem with coaching companies is the coaches don't own enough. So let's make all the coaches owners. So I started to come up with 7 owners. I mean, that thing was doomed from the beginning. Like, I mean, looking back now, it's like, how in the world do you even pull that off? It's not possible. Like, the structure was horrible. I didn't know that. I idealistically thought, no, we could overcome. We're different, right? And then it turned out we weren't, or I wasn't. But we don't talk about that. We just won't talk. Here's the thing, though. On the way down as an entrepreneur, like, you know, before you're bankrupt and all the bad things happen, you're living under a bridge. If you were to talk to other entrepreneurs, guess what? They've been there too. And guess what? They'll tell you how they pulled it out, and they'll tell you where they got serious and where they didn't, you know, and they'll tell you which ideals are going to help you get out of that and which ideals are going to get you faster into it. And so, you know, I just, being able to openly and honestly talk about your your problems and your issues is very important, like very important, you know, because otherwise you're just pretending.
That's true.
And if you're down in a hole 6 feet deep and you're pretending to be on the ground, I mean, you can do that, but you don't really have a great view of what's actually happening. And so, you know, I wish more people could just speak openly and not, because I want to go, there's a left and right limit to this.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, we should speak more openly about it. And it also shouldn't be, because there's the other side of this, that everything is a tragedy and everything is a trauma and all things are just, woe is me, right? Like Adler talks about a lot about this in his philosophy, which is like, the most powerful person in Western society is the baby. Why? Because the baby is totally helpless. And so we all serve the baby, and the baby cries and the whole world stops and we help the baby. And some of us have taken this into adulthood and been like, wow, this really works. If I have a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of drama, people stop and help me. I don't think that's good either. You know, so this is not just only woe is me, but it's like, hey, I'm really going through this. What are some tactical ways I can really improve?
Okay. I do have two last questions. That was really good. So my pivot to that is, how do you coach people on sacrificing and pivoting? Because a lot of times we gonna hit our head because we only see one outcome on certain things. Because like you mentioned, on your first launch, you knew this was going to work. You knew this was going to happen. You had your mindset on this one thing, right? And so How do you coach people? Like, you may have to let that go and pivot another way. Or you may have to sacrifice this time to not do certain things to really focus in on who your target audience is, those main foundations of a business, to make sure it is properly done the proper way. So how do you coach them on the pivots and the sacrificing?
Main thing for business, if we're talking business only, right? And I'll talk about, we can talk about family and other things later, but for business, it's money in the bank. I mean, it's just that simple. Like, businesses exist for one reason, to make money, right? I know they can have philanthropic designs. I know that there are businesses who do good. I'm not saying they don't exist, but guess what? If you don't have any money in the bank, you can't do a lot of good. Like, if your business is there to give back and you have $2, well, good luck. You know, like, I don't know where you're going to give back, but no one's going to care much. Right. And so for business, you let the dollars tell you. Like, if it's a successful business, money will be flowing in. Right. If it's having an impact, money will be flowing in. It'll be flowing out too. Right. I mean, you got expenses. It's not like it's just all in, but let the dollars tell you, you know, and it's not about what you want to sell. It's about what the market wants also. Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want to sell, or it doesn't matter what you want to teach people. People are going to buy what they're going to buy. And so you have to meet people where they are. And the best way to know if you're doing that or not is dollars. How many people are willing to give you money to solve a problem that they have? And if the answer is none, then you don't solve problems. And people say, well, no, they don't even know they have this problem. Well, perfect. Then they're probably not going to give you money for that. So I'm not saying that's not real, but you don't solve problems that matter to other people. And guess what? Every dollar that you're ever going to make in your whole life, you know where it is? In someone else's pocket, all of them, right? So it's not about like, is there money? There's so much money. Oh my gosh. Like, the money is essentially endless, especially in the modern economy. But it's how do you convince someone to take some from their pocket and put it into your pocket, right? And that is a different conversation. So when I say if you have no money, you're not solving problems, it's because you're not solving problems anyone else cares about. And all the money you want is in their hand. So, you know, that what matters is what they care about and what you care about.
So good. Okay, last question. When is it time to actually pursue a coach and inquire to get the right one to support you with the problems that you're facing?
Yeah. I don't know. I played a lot of sports when I was young, And what I like about coaches is the coach has a perspective. He has a history. He's not you, right? So whatever's happening to you, like, think about it. If you're in a room of 100 people, the only person in that room you can't see is you. This is very difficult, right? Our eyes are set outward. Our emotions are the same thing. Our emotions also are set outward. They're set to feel out here. And so we don't see ourselves very well as human beings, both physically and emotionally. Having a coach is a great third party situation. So the question is, when do you want to see the real truth about who you are and the real truth about your results? Sometimes that's right after a big crisis, right? For me, for me, after the divorce, it was the next marriage. So I was married to Whit, my wife right now, and it was really good. And then I realized I didn't really understand what I had done to blow up the first one. I knew it was me. I knew I did it, but I didn't really understand it. I found a coach who really did. And I remember her saying, well, look, we don't have any of those problems while you're going. I said, well, I'm still the same person. Like, I know we don't, but I have a feeling if I don't figure this out, we will have these problems. It's just a matter of time before I do the same things, right? So it can be in a moment of crisis. It can be when you don't know where to go. It can be when you're feeling alone and you need somebody to understand and see. But any time in your life that you want an outside perspective in order to improve a situation, it's a great time to have a coach. The difference between coaching and counseling, and I love counseling, you know, but counseling is more about I'm here and I'm looking back. I'm looking at my traumas and I'm trying to heal. So I'm looking at the past to create who I am today, right? Coaching is the word coach means a horse-drawn carriage. So it's like a taxi. Coaching is I'm here and I want to go here. And so it's like let's focus on where we really are and let's focus on where we really want to go and let's set a path together. And then let's figure out if that path even works, right? You know, sometimes it doesn't. But for me, a coach is if you want, look, right now we're in the season where we're watching the Olympics, right? How many of those guys do you see walking up no coaches?
Yeah, very valid.
None. Why? Because they could not get better without that. It's just not possible because you just don't have, while you're flying down the bobsled, in the bobsled as the driver, you can't see what's happening to the bobsled. You're just doing the best you can, right? A coach is able to have that third party perspective, you know, and what's cool is like none of the credit goes to the coach. It's all you, but the coach will give you a different set of tools to make that happen.
So good. All right, Coach Kevin, go ahead and tell the people how they can reach out to you. If that's website, social media, email, whatever options you may have for the people.
No, look, on socials, I'm at It's Coach Kevin just about everywhere. My website is itscoachkevin.com. I'm also the COO at Apogee Strong. So if you go to apogeestrong.com, we are reseeding freedom through education. We really saw the gap in the education system. Look, our education system was created for a certain time in history. And it was created to make employees, right? Because we needed a bunch of them. We are so far past that the education system right now, and be careful, I mean the system, not the people, a lot of wonderful people in the education system, right? But the system itself was designed for something that is no longer has any relevance, especially, and that was before AI, especially now in the age of AI. So we designed a type of schools that actually breeds critical thinkers and breeds leaders and teaches people really how to think and how to interface with problems and how to disagree with each other and still be friends, which I think is like a dying art in America. But that is what Apogee schools are all about. So apogeestrong.com is a great place if you want to talk about education and the next wave. And what's cool about it is it's really just going back to how we've always learned as human beings, going back to single classrooms, going back to micro schools, going back to small and going back to mentor-led conversations and going back to giving kids responsibilities, you know, just have them make some mistakes. Surprise, we tend to learn pretty well that way.
That's true. All right, well, we're wrapping it up. Is there anything you feel like I missed or anything you want to share with the people as motivation, anything?
I mean, anytime I get a chance to say this, I'll say it, but you are a force of nature. I am a force of nature. I'm a force of nature. If you are around me, I'm something to be reckoned with, right? And that's the same thing for you. Every single person hearing this, you're a force of nature. You're not the only force of nature. You're not the biggest force of nature. It doesn't mean that other forces don't knock you on your ass from time to time. They do, but you don't give away your power. Like you matter, right? You matter and I matter. And just, most of life isn't that complicated. You know the things you're doing that are holding you back. You know the things you ought to do to move forward. Just do the next thing.
So good. Well, I am so grateful for your presence today and all of the information that you provided. We're going to make sure his contact information are in the show notes. But I want to thank you again for being here today. If you guys are listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you for supporting the What's Good podcast platform. And we will see you guys next time.
Thanks
for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Siobhan. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.